Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mock Observers Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, the 27th of May. Blur's Day, for those of you playing along at home. This is 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Almost as important as Brian Chaffin, I have Brian Chaffin's hat with me today. Hi, Brian.
Indeed, me and my hat are happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
I'm glad to have you both as well. Now, today, our topic is something that both of you have seen and enjoyed that I have not yet beheld the true glory of. Let's tell people what we're talking about. We're talking about Mythic Quest, which is a TV Plus, Apple TV Plus show. And you can find it in the TV app, right? The TV Plus app? Anyway, so this is a series about a video game company, and I haven't dug into it yet.
Video game company.
It's a pretend. Yeah. It's a show like Silicon Valley, but about a game company instead of a startup. So, they have released a bonus episode, right?
That's right. Yeah. So it comes from Rob McElhenney, and I'm nearly certain Charlie Day is also on the production team. They are most known for their work together on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And this definitely Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet is the name of the show, or at least the first season of the show. It definitely fits into that style of humor, but I would say it's evolved. It's not the potty humor that they made so famous in Always Sunny. But it's that same cleverness, right? And mm-hmm. and that same, you know, intentional cluelessness about their own characters and that sort of that vibe is it's brilliant. They are geniuses at this for sure, and they do a fantastic job of creating so wildly flawed characters that are you just have empathy for all of them all the way through, even when they're not the nicest people, because you get it. Like you're in on the joke the whole uh-huh. way through, right?
Okay.
If you haven't watched Mythic Quest, you could go and just watch this quarantine episode that they put together. I highly recommend you go watch everything. I feel like we should explain some of the things and then stop at a point where it's like, okay, beyond this, there's going to be some spoilers here. There's no way that we're going to get through this whole episode without spoilers. But there is a little bit of a backstory to how this came about that is not a spoiler. At least I'm going to try my best, and I apologize. So if you really don't want to be spoiled, just pause this and go watch, then come back.
Come back to us. Yeah, we'll be here.
I'll try my best. So this episode was not planned, as all of this quarantine was not planned. They were in the midst of filming their second season when everything was sort of shut down. Mm-hmm. And they had this idea that, wait a minute, we could do an episode from quarantine. And yeah. Rob McElhenney,
it's
an Apple. Yep. Rob McElhenney and presumably other parts of the team pitched this to their bosses at Apple. And as the story goes, Apple was not initially on board solely because, and this is not going to be a surprise to any of us. In fact, it's a good thing, I think, solely because they didn't believe that it could be up to the quality of that which also is appearing on Apple TV Plus. They didn't want some hack together, you know, Zoom call kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we've seen some of these, like the cast of Community got together and did a table read on Zoom of an old episode.
Yes.
And it was freaking brilliant. Right. But it was not high quality, but in terms of production quality, but it was fantastic. It was very entertaining. But I could see where Apple would say, cool, but not here.
You know? And yes.
So
that makes sense.
Yep, but McElhenney felt like, you know, I'm on board with that same philosophy, and I think we can do this. So they filmed a small portion of it as a, you know, basically on spec as a dry run, and played it, you know, sent it to their bosses at Apple, and they immediately changed their course. They were like, oh, I see, got it. Yes, this is going to be amazing. Go. And Rob. as the story goes, Rob said to his bosses at Apple, "Hey, the thing is, we're going to need 40 new iPhones and 20 sets of AirPods or some other type of earbuds, in order to do this. And, you know, we want to do it quickly." And that was on a Monday call. And he said, "If I have them by Friday, I think we can pull this off." Now, this was, as they say, 3 weeks from conception to, like, we all got to see it. So this happened really quickly.
Wow, that is fast. And especially in TV.
Yeah, he says there was a rep on the call who didn't skip a beat. He says, "I've already tracked them down. They're in LA. I can have them to you by this afternoon." So, you know, again, 3 weeks later, Mythic Quest Quarantine was shot, edited, ready to air. And they are submitting it for an Emmy consideration, which I absolutely support. No. This is a piece of television that is fantastic on so many levels. They certainly, and I think it's probably time for those of you that want to detach without spoilers, you might want to do that now. They certainly utilized, like, there was no question about the format that was being used. It was essentially a series of Zoom calls amongst the team because they're all quarantined.
That makes sense. I mean, that's what's happening in actual video game companies right now, I imagine. So,
correct. Yeah, right. But were it not for them employing that as a part of the storyline, I found myself easily forgetting the fact that they were on these Zoom, you know, quote unquote Zoom calls.
Sure.
That I just watched the story, and it's because it wasn't shot inside Zoom. They used Zoom to coordinate everything, but what everyone did was put these iPhones, one of 40, atop their computers or mounted somehow so that you were getting iPhone quality video instead of Mac quality video. Because, and I think, I hope one of the good things from quarantine is that Apple puts 30 frame per second cameras in their Macs. All the cameras in every Mac right now are, at least as far as I know, are all 15 frame per second cameras. And it sucks compared to a 30 frame per second camera like the ones we have in the iPhone. So all of the footage, and I say all, there might be some that there might be like little snippets that were not, but of course, but by and large, everything was filmed with the iPhone camera. So you get this really rich, you know, high quality, high frame rate video that's very easy to watch. And like I said, becomes sort of transparent. So
now we've absolutely complained about the FaceTime camera. I hope I'm pronouncing the air quotes correctly. That continues to come in the laptops, and especially in talking about how now when people are wanting to create content, you know, presuming that like my computer is maybe a year old and my phone is 3 or 4. So obviously the camera in my computer is going to be better, right? Wrong. So
correct.
We've complained about this in the past. In fact, I think when I say in the past, I mean it may have been possibly yesterday when we were talking about it, that camera is not what it could be. So mounting the iPhones as if, you know, it were the eyesight camera in your phone, in your computer, is a very clever thing. And I'm with you. I hope that this does change Apple's mind on that particular piece of hardware.
And Brian, you've seen the episode too. We watched it as a family in my house, not with you, Brian, of course, because you know we're not quarantined together. We're not part of the same social bubble yet. But I mean, this episode had it. Not only was it funny and all of the characters playing all of their roles, but it went really like there was an element of it that went really deep into the whole, you know, the downsides to us being quarantined, like the emotional downsides and I thought they acknowledged that and treated it really, really well. There was one character, Poppy, that you know, was not doing well once she finished all the work that she had to do. And she went into a depression, and you've seen it, right, Brian?
Yes.
Okay. Very, very quiet today. That's right. Brian is the masked man. They made it such that it looked like Rob McElhenney's character, Ian, went and visited her to give her a hug, broke quarantine, gave her a hug. It was like, look, this is important. In reality, that's not what happened. Her boyfriend played the part of Rob McElhenney, like coming, to her door. Yeah. And you saw it from far away from like she's at her computer and then there's a knock on the door, which is way in the background. She gets up, they're talking with each other while this is happening. But it's, Rob on his camera and her, elsewhere. But I think her boyfriend did have to say a line for Rob McElhenney. And he was really worried about the whole thing because I don't think he's an actor of any kind. And he's, almost a foot taller than Rob McElhenney, I think, or something like there's a maybe 6 inches or something. He was really worried. He's like, oh, this isn't going to work out. And they were like, dude, the magic of television will fix this. It's OK.
We will make this reality. Yeah.
Yeah. And they did a really good job. I mean, watching it, I did not know that bit of the story before we saw that scene. And I was like, wow, did they really have him go see her? Like, it could stand a reason if they're both truly, quarantined, like families are doing that now where they're expanding their bubbles to multiple households, but just being very diligent about it and still being responsible. It was like, I could see that happening. And then after the fact, we read the article, it was like, oh no, it was actually her boyfriend. So, but it was really well done.
Sit there and be like, wow, did he really go to her house? Like, if that's the question, then they absolutely did what they needed to do to make it look legit.
And in the storyline, it really made sense that he him going to her house was like something he was really worried about, mm-hmm. exposing himself to anything. And yet he made this gesture, a sacrificial gesture. And if you want to look at it that way, that was like, her emotional needs are going to trump that for me right now in this moment, it was a very touching moment, arguably one of the most touching moments I've seen on that show. And you were the first one to say, Brian, in our staff meeting the other day, that it deserves an Emmy. I'm assuming that was part of your reasoning.
That's certainly part of it. A huge part of it. This show, captures the zeitgeist of this moment that we're all living through in a brilliant, just an exceedingly brilliant way. I mean, every single element of that episode was in service of not only the story, but of, again, this moment. It's hard to believe that it was created, let alone filmed or videoed or recorded or whatever, in such an incredibly short period of time. The way they did, just touch on so many different things, and like even the fact that the scene that Dave was describing, now I realize why it is that you couldn't see what was going on very well. But even that was like part of the story.
Well, if it was on a Zoom call, you wouldn't be able to see the doorway back there either. So it checks out.
And I think it was actually that was a FaceTime call, wasn't it, Dave?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been a FaceTime call. That's correct.
That particular
one
was a FaceTime call.
He was walking down the street and talking with her and then says, Poppy, open your door. And there he is. Yeah. So, it was beautifully brilliant. The whole episode was beautifully brilliant. The way they employed and I'm sorry to be ruining this for you, Kelly, because I know you haven't seen the episode. So thank you.
Here's my first question is, I want to know, if I didn't watch the rest of the season, can I watch this bottle episode? Is it really a bottle episode? Can I watch it without knowing anything about who any of these people are or what their deals are, each character, and watch this show? Can I enjoy it? But if I watched the whole season, I would enjoy it more.
I think that's true. Yeah, I think you could watch this episode and you, it would probably whet your appetite to then go and watch the season, at which point you'd probably watch the episode again. After we finished watching this episode, we thought, you know, should we go back and watch episodes 1 through 9 again? Like that, because this was pretty good. So it was definitely a nice little revisitation to all of our favorite characters. But yeah, it wouldn't ruin anything for the season, I don't think. And it's impossible to really say that without going and rewatching everything and making, you know, very detailed notes to answer that specific question. I think there's certainly some things you would miss.
Sure.
Without this, you know, the season long setup of the way these two characters normally interact. And now,
right.
You know, you're seeing the way it evolves. In fact, the way the Zoom call was sort of employed as a device was there are these two characters that are testers. Okay. Two women, and they sit all day and, you know, in the normal season, they sit all day testing the game because somebody has to, right?
Right.
And they develop this bond, and there's this whole thing that goes on, obviously character development, blah, blah, blah. And the way they worked this into and really utilized the Zoom call was they had created this thing where one of them would like hand a chip to the other one through the Zoom call. Now, obviously, it wasn't happening that way, but they had set up their screen so that, you know, one of them had a bag of chips just out of camera. And so one could, you know, hand the chip through and the other one could go and grab it. And it was cute, right? It was like, oh, I actually could see that happening, especially with these two characters. And
that's absolutely a thing I would do if I sat next to somebody and then had to do it at home. I would be like, yeah, go get some chips. This is the thing we're doing now.
Let's figure this out.
Yep.
And then there's a guy that halfway through the season had kind of butted into their world. And so halfway through the episode, he butts into their world again. And
right. And to me, that's not as entertaining, I'm sure, as if you've seen it happen already.
On its own, it's also entertaining because it's clear that they don't like this guy's presence. That's already been established in the episode. And yet he makes the gag better.
Right.
And so now it's a three-way gag. And by the end of the episode, let me just say, you'll want to watch. If you are at all a fan of Rube Goldberg, my goodness, this episode is the perfect setup for you. And I've probably ruined it, but I'll leave it at that without sharing any of the details, because it's pretty good. But the episode does set itself up. I'm thinking about a few things that sort of happen, and that is the culmination for all of them. And you know enough about each character just from watching this episode that the punchline would definitely land for you, which is great.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I wanted to know about. And when we talked about this in the meeting this morning, considering what we wanted to say about it, my question was, because I haven't seen the episode, if this was sort of like a Doctor Who Christmas special, like you don't really have to know a lot about Doctor Who or what happened in the season we just had or whatever, you can sit down and watch the Christmas special on Christmas Day and it's fine. And, you know, maybe there's stuff in there that is a payoff or, you know, a little bit funnier, a little bit more interesting. If you did watch a bunch of Doctor Who before the Christmas special or all the Doctor Who before the Christmas special, but you can sort of watch it on its own and it stands by itself and you don't really have to know a lot in order to do that. And that sounds like this episode is kind of sort of like a Christmas special in that way. Like you don't really have to know a lot about the show or the characters or any of that. And you can like, everybody knows about quarantine. So you can sit down and watch and sort of get that piece of it. It almost sounds like, and Brian, I'm going to put this to you. This almost sounds like a kind of a time capsule kind of thing. Like when people want to know what it was like, now, you know, looking back on it, this seems like the kind of thing that you could hold up as an example. Like this is what it was like.
That will probably end up being the case. I would also expect some other shows to try to copy this format one way or another. But I think the biggest takeaway here is that Apple didn't technically produce this, but Apple has paid for the production of great TV with this episode. I mean, the Mythic Quest, the show was already a fantastic show.
Okay.
But this episode is an episode of great TV.
Okay. Now I'm curious how many people are on the show, because I'm trying to math out, like, so how many people need 40 iPhones? Like, so maybe there's a bonus episode that comes out of this that's like the making of the bonus episode, right? Like, right. Where we find out, like, here's how we did it. And we got everybody AirPods, and everybody's got an iPhone here and an iPhone there. And that's what, you know, and we were choosing from that footage, and we gave everybody these ridiculous stands, you know, to set them on in order to get the recording where we wanted it and everything, you know.
Yeah, interesting. I feel there's been enough discussed about it since its release, and certainly before its release, that this, and when I say it, I mean this episode,
right,
that I would think that if it had been meta filmed for a documentary style, here's how we did this thing, we would know that by now. But maybe it was decided that, like, let's do it and not tell anyone. Like, that's definitely a thing that could happen with this cast.
Logistically,
for sure,
like, so. Logistically getting the film crew to do the making of documentary like you can on a film set is not happening here. So it would be more like sitting down with Rob McElhenney and going, so what's the deal? And it would basically sort of be the oral history of, like, how this came to be, a lot more than, you know, unless a few people maybe got some photos of, like, here's what it looks like where I'm shooting right now, you know, because they wanted to have it themselves that they could put out now, you know, now that the episode's released, like, here's a shot of how we did that. So maybe there's something to that. That's a thing I would want to know. We were just, we had the Apple TV on at my house recently, and I was like, you know what show I want to see on Apple TV Plus? How we make our Apple TV screensavers. And Mr. Kelly said, how is that even a show? Like, what is there to tell? And I'm, seriously? Like, how do they get the ones in space? How do they get the ones underwater? Like, how do they pick a location? How did they know that shark was going to be there? How did they find that field of jellyfish? Like, I went on for, as both of you can imagine, probably pretty accurately, I went on for a couple of minutes of, like, here are all the things I want to know. And he was like, okay, I get it. You could stop now. And I wasn't done. So I really, like, if Apple is listening, not that they are, but if they were, please give me a show about how you make the screensavers, because I think it would be fascinating to find out how you get those, particularly the ones from space. Thank you. That is all.
Cool. Yeah, fun episode. I highly, if you couldn't already tell, I highly support recommending that you watch it. Anybody, you, but you especially, Kelly. In fact, I think for months we've been trying to convince Kelly to watch any episode of Mythic Quest. So here you go.
That's true. And so now I will start with this one. I will watch one. I will commit to watching one. I have homework now from the podcast. I will commit to that. And at some point in the near future, you will hear about it on the show. There's an excellent chance I will be very entertained by it as a person who spends a whole lot of time in Zoom meetings now. So,
right.
That's going to do it for today. I want to thank both of you for being here, Brian, and also Brian's hat. Thank you so much for coming by.
We're happy to be here.
And Dave, as always, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Great stuff.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.